it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Well, the T20 Cricket World Cup is just a month away, and New Zealand's campaign will start in Guyana, moves to Trinidad through Barbados to St Vincent as they look to qualify and get through to the latter stages of the tournament. Yesterday, they named their T20 squad, and when I say they, it is Gary Stead and Sam Wells, who are the selectors. If you haven't heard it, we'll just quickly go through it. Kane Williamson will captain the side. Finn Allen, Trent Bolt, Michael Bracewell, Mark Chapman, Devon Conway, Lachie Ferguson, Matt Henry, Daryl Mitchell, Jimmy Neesham, Glenn Phillips, Ruchan Ravindran, Mitchell Santner, Ish Sodhi, Tim Southee, and they have nominated Ben Sears as a travelling reserve, and I think that makes good sense because the West Indies, if you need someone in a hurry, from our point of view, it's quite a hard place to get to. We're joined this morning by one of the selectors, and Sam Wells, just to go through the squad and some of the issues around it. Sam, thanks very much for your time and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Smithy.
That is a very, very experienced side. I mean, I just looked at the side that played against Australia in the T20 World Cup opener, where we knocked over Australia and basically put them out of the tournament last time around. And every member of that starting 11 is in this squad. That's experience.
Yeah, well, I think with these T20 World Cups, they roll around pretty regularly now, so you probably wouldn't expect wholesale changes in sort of that sort of a short period. I think that semi-final, say, against Pakistan was only 11 or so months ago, I think, in the last T20 World Cup. So, there's good consistency here, and I think the experience should hold us in good stead in the tournament coming up.
Okay, for that reason then, was it an easy side to pick? Did you have any curly ones?
There's always a few curly ones. I think a few have been highlighted already, whether to take Seifert as a specialist reserve keeper. I think the Adam Milne injury at the last sort of few weeks before the tournament, that probably prevented us from having to make a really tough call on the seamers that we were going to take. So in the balance, including James Neesham and Ruchan, in terms of giving us some all-round flexibility as well. So it was probably more the decision on the balance we're looking for, and I think you noted in the intro there that we decided, working with NZC, that we could take Ben Sears as a travelling reserve. Sort of alleviated some of those concerns that you noted about travel and getting people there on short notice. So there's always curly ones, Smithy, and this was no exception. But look, there's a good experience core there that has sort of been performing well, and they've earned their spots.
You highlighted the Tim Seifert dilemma, and that was one you had to think through. Obviously, you've got, by my reckoning, you've got three people that can wicket keep pretty well there. You've got Devon Conway. We've seen actually Finn Allen with the gloves on, who looked pretty tidy. And, of course, Glenn Phillips, who's done the job in the past as well. So you're confident that you have enough specialty there in terms of perhaps the differing conditions and the slower surfaces that might turn a bit?
Yeah, we took the same view as you there, Smithy, that we've got three guys that can do the job if called upon. Obviously, Finn and Glenn now don't do that in a full-time basis, but if needs be, then they can take the gloves. And I guess it's just the nature of T20 cricket that wicket-keeping's probably, and you won't enjoy me saying this, but devalued slightly just because so few balls go through to the keeper now, because the batsman's always trying to make contact with it. And the fact is that for the vast majority of the innings, the bowler's not looking to take the outside edge and feed the keeper in the slips. So it's just a different style of cricket. Well, keeping, obviously, chances go there. They're still extremely important, but we're just seeing that less and less go there because that's just not the style of bowling that the bowlers are trying to implement.
You've still got to be conscious, though, if a top-class batsman nicks one or runs past one, you've got to get him. So you've got to weigh that up, surely.
Yeah, no, absolutely, you're right. It goes for all fielding. Look, and it's no secret there's been some issues in the field recently, and we're keenly aware of that. So if chances go to the keeper, if they go to someone at third man or fine leg, they're all critical, and everyone needs to be there to execute their skills. So look, Devin's done a really good job, and we're behind the sticks, and we're confident that he'll be fit and ready to go. So that's plan A at the moment.
Right, okay. Let's look at the pace attack as well, because that's an interesting one. We've got these developing young players now. Ben Sears is a travelling reserve. Willow Rourke couldn't make this particular squad. So was there a bracket there around including another bit of extra pace alongside Lockie for, say, maybe some more regular speeds like the Southey, the Henry, the Bolt?
Yeah, that was certainly discussed. I suppose Sears' primary role has been similar to that as Lockie's. He doesn't take the new ball for Wellington that I can recall of, and he sort of acts in that third or fourth seamer role. So with Henry, Southey and Bolt all providing new ball cover, we felt that balance was better on a game-to-game basis, whereas if Lockie were to go down or if somebody else, then Ben could come in and perform that sort of enforcer role. Lockie probably more skilled with the new ball, able to swing the ball a little bit more than Ben typically does. So that was sort of the thinking there. It's more of a roles-based selection decision and where we're likely to see each player used.
So if you look at a possible batting lineup here, obviously you go the Conway, Allen, Williamson start at the first three. Then where do you look? Do you go... Are you still got room there for another specialist batsman, maybe a Mitchell or co? Or then do you go for your all-round bracket? Do you start it really early these days?
Look, I think there's multiple options there. Obviously, we've seen Darryl, Glenn, Chapman and Neesham all within those roles over the past 12 months. So, obviously, Chaffee has been in really good form recently in Pakistan, and the other guys have performed well at various times. So there'll be a decision there to be made. I think Neesham brings obviously that seam bowling option and this potential on turning pitches that all three of the frontline spinners could play in terms of Santner, Bracewell and Sodhi. And if that's the case and you only play two seamers, then you might want to have the additional seam bowling of Neesham. So that just gives, as we saw the other day where he came on and I thought did quite a good job at the death there when called upon at the last minute. So that just gives you flexibility depending on how you think the conditions might play out.
What about Rachin Ravindra included in this squad? This will be his first T20 World Cup alongside Matt Henry, which I almost found that hard to believe that Matt Henry hadn't played in one, but he hasn't. So let's look at the role of Rachin. How are we seeing him here? As the all-rounder, or would you use him perhaps as a hitter?
Yeah, I think he can cover a lot of positions. We've seen him bat in the top order, so he's primarily a top order batsman. But he also covers our spin bowling all-rounders in terms of Bracewell and Santner as well. So he can provide cover in multiple positions and play in multiple positions depending on what's required.
Let's look at the amount of cricket that some of these players are not getting. I mean, it's all very well to get these IPL contracts, and it's nice to get above financial surety. But when you've got something like a World Cup following on pretty closely, it's not always that good to be left waiting in the wings. So what kind of cricket are a lot of these players getting who aren't getting regular IPL action?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're training hard with their IPL franchises and getting a lot of work in that way. There are a couple of T20 warm-up games before the World Cup, so that'll give them a bit of action. The guys back here aren't involved with the IPL. There's a couple of camps being organised before up in the Mount prior to going. So while some of them might not be getting picked for their IPL sides, I'm sure everybody's working hard on the game to be ready to go when that tournament starts.
So if we look at our particular pool that we're in at the to kick this off, we've got the West Indies, of course, the hosts, Afghanistan first up, and that's in Guyana, the West Indies in Trinidad, and we've got Uganda and Papua New Guinea, who you would think we should be able to account for, where there might be an issue there, but otherwise on form or on experience, we should beat those. Now then, a curly one, Afghanistan and Guyana. What do we know about Guyana these days and the danger of Afghanistan?
Yeah, look, Guyana, the data sort of suggests it takes a bit of turn, and obviously Afghanistan have a strong spin attack, so look, they'll be a tough opponent first up there, I'd expect, at Guyana with Rashid Khan and Ajib. So they're a pretty formidable T20 side now, so playing them in the host, you know, that's not an easy pull, first of all, so we'll have to be on our game early first up.
What do we know about the West Indies and their strength? I mean, we know that their test side is on the regrouping and the redevelopment, but what about their T20 side? Where are they drawing their players from?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see who they name, though. I haven't seen if it's been named yet, but look, that's a team typically with a lot of power. You've got guys like Turan, and we'd be expecting Andre Russell to be in that as well. So they're a really experienced, dynamic, power-hitting side. Obviously, they were used to their home conditions. So, yeah, it could be interesting to see who is in and out. I see Narayan's made himself unavailable. He would have been a formidable opponent as well, and he's having a very strong IPL. So, look, they'll be strong at home as well, so certainly won't be taking them lightly.
So Guyana through Trinidad, Barbados, St Vincent, don't know much about the pitch qualities there, watch a little bit of the Caribbean Premier League, but to be honest, is it guesswork for us as well, or how well researched? Because we have had players play in the CPL, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a few guys having played there. Look, there's an analytics team there that we get data on each ground and get sort of an idea of the average scores and how each play and that sort of thing. So we're relatively over all of that in terms of how the grounds might play. But, of course, you never know on the day. You might turn up and get something a little bit different. It might be interesting to see how those pitches they're shipping over from Adelaide go in New York. Yeah, look. I guess that's one of the challenges of this tournament. You'll be playing in different countries that have got different conditions, and I think that's why we're looking to have a squad that gave us a lot of options depending on what we're facing.
Sam, what's next after the T20 World Cup? What do we look forward to in this calendar year, and what have you got to keep in mind going forward?
Yeah, so after the T20 World Cup, we've got quite a good tranche of test cricket with Afghanistan, three tests in Sri Lanka and a tour to India as well, with a white ball tour to Sri Lanka squeezed in there. And then after that, we've got a really exciting home summer with England touring in the test matches, which everyone will be looking forward to. So there's a really strong block of test cricket coming up.
Were you happy with? Well, obviously we didn't win. We could have won against Australia, but in the end we couldn't get the job done. But in the wash up to last summer's Test season, how are you viewing that? And what are you looking at going forward there? Do we expect changes? What did you make of the development of the young speedsters? Where are we at with a couple of the older players? I mean, how are you factoring that in? Have we got any retirements in the offing?
Yeah, look, we obviously had our chances against Australia and probably let ourselves down with a couple of sessions that we'd like to have over again. But I think from a selection point of view, there were some really encouraging signs with the emergence of Will O'Rourke and Ben Sears and Ruchan Ravindra as well, who I believe top scored. So look, there's some nice young talent coming through that are strengthening up that side. And no one's retired as far as I'm aware. So look, we'll have to assess each squad going forward. Obviously with the subcontinent coming up, that spin will come into it a bit more. So the squad will look slightly different than you'd expect for a home series. So I think There's obviously some guys who are, and this has been well documented, in their early 30s or getting toward their mid-30s, and naturally there's over time there's going to have to be some regeneration of that squad. But if guys are still performing into their mid-30s, then certainly they'll still be selected. But I think we've seen with Pakistan and the team that just went to Pakistan, and with Will O'Rourke and Ben Sears, there is a good group of young cricketers coming through, and they'll be pushing those guys hard to spots, no doubt.
How much, when you look at a tour like coming up in a test tour or a tour of India, do you look at the way, say, England played against them and England's style of cricket? We're not known to go hell for leather like the current England squad as such. But when it turns to the makeup of the side, And they play Jimmy Anderson and Ben Stokes and a whole hat full of spinners. I mean, so that does that influence in your thinking, or do you have a different method?
No, Western had a keen eye on that series and was quite interested in their selections, but they put a lot of weight on a couple of young spinners to bowl a whole lot of overs for them, and you know, that put them under a lot of pressure. They obviously play an aggressive style of cricket with the bat, but at the end of the day, I'm a true believer that the bowling wins your test matches. You need to take wickets to bowl sides out. And, you know, we need to look to get what is the bowling combination we can get on the park that can get us 20 Indian wickets? Because a lot of these tests aren't going to go 5 days, and your batsmen have to score the runs. And scoring quickly, yeah, that can be good, but it's not like many teams are running out of time in a game anymore. There's not many draws these days, so there's many different ways it's going to cat in terms of runs, but I always view it as wickets as being the critical element to win your tests.
And just finally, the Plunkett Shield level, another season just done and dusted. Happy with our development tracking there and you know, the depth that we've got coming forward in most areas, or is there one or two positions in the game that you want to see strengthened and have more flow through from there?
Yeah, I think there's good talent coming through in the seam bowling, and we've seen some of that and in the batting as well. I'd say that maybe potentially the young spin bowling, there's not as many of them perhaps as the other skill sets. So look, there's always areas where you'd like as much talent. I mean, it'd be great to have 15 Rutchins to pick from, or someone of his calibre with a different skill set. But look, I think there's plenty coming through there. We just have to see how they develop over the coming seasons.
Sam Wells, selector for the Black Caps, thank you for your time this morning. All the very best with this squad going forward. Incidentally, do you get to go? Are you going to pop over?
No, no one's invited me yet, but that's all right. I can watch it from back here. But I generally, over the winter, I won't be travelling too much, but I'll pop in and out over the summer a bit and keep in touch with the group. So, I'll be watching late at night with everyone else.
Good on you, Sam. I hope you're saying the right things. Thanks very much for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you. Have a good day.